on today's broadcast of Peace to Live By.
Anyone who wants to say, "I'm not ungodly," cannot come to Christ. If you take away sin, you take away the gospel. No sin equals no gospel.
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. The weekly radio program Peace to Live By features Bible teacher Daniel Litton and is found online at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of the broadcast is to give firm foundations of clear biblical truth and to share the truth with those who are not in a personal relationship with Jesus yet. Now, here's today's message.
Now we come to Romans chapter 5. Let's move through the first half of this chapter today. Beginning in verse 1, we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We start here today with an incredible statement from the Apostle Paul. We who believe in God, who have placed our faith in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and resurrection from the dead, we who have been justified in front of God by this faith, we now, Paul says, have received peace with the God of everything that exists, who made everything that is, the God of all time. That's an incredible thing. Let us recall what Paul said a few chapters back in Romans chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, and this contrasts severely with what we see here in chapter 5 for the Christian. Remember, he said, "For those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first, and also the Greek." This is Paul's picture, God's picture, of the unbeliever, the one who still has yet to place his or her faith in Christ. This is what anybody is before Christ. Indeed, what we were before we came into relationship with Christ. What are the characteristics of the one who doesn't have peace with God? Notice, the person is self-seeking and does not obey the truth. That's Paul's definition of evil in verse 8 of Romans chapter 2. Self-seeking and does not obey the truth. One thing I like to do in order to understand scriptures better is do what I call a scripture reversal. We just saw how Paul stated the characteristics of the unbeliever and their consequences in Romans 2, 8, and 9, but what I want to do is reverse this scripture so that we can see how we ought to look as Christians. Let's rephrase the verse. For those who are God and others seeking and do obey the truth, who obey righteousness, there will be peace. There will be peace for every human being who does good, the Jew first, and also the Greek. Okay, see how that worked? I took the verse and reversed it. And this can help us gain better understanding of where we stand and how God sees us. This is a good practice for us to use to better understand Scripture. I think right now you are beginning to think of all kinds of ways this technique can help you better understand Scripture. So, we as Christians have peace with God. What is this peace with God? What Paul is talking about here is a legal standing with God, a position, how God sees us. It's God's perspective. We have peace with God, and that we are not at war with Him and on the opposing side. We are not enemies of God, as other scriptures talk of unbelievers. Our Father is not Satan, not the devil, any longer. Our Father is God. And with this legal standing, then, obviously comes a feeling of peace. There is not supposed to be any more fear or dread of God in how we approach Him. Our next verse here in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Man, there is a lot we could talk about here at this point. People can say they live by grace, but do they really? Oftentimes, I think that people who really believe that they are living under the new way of grace have instead just formulated a new law by which they live. And they think that since it's a lesser law than God's Old Testament prescription, that they are now living by grace. But that's not a true understanding of grace at all. Bear in mind that if we are living by an achievement-based system, a system where we earn this or that before God or others, we are not living under grace. Grace is God giving us what? It is God giving us what we do not deserve. We accept grace from God through our faith. And as Paul said earlier, our faith does not come from us. We didn't come up with our faith. Our faith was given to us as a gift from God. And since it is a gift, and we didn't earn our faith, and didn't therefore earn our grace, grace then is not something of our own doing. So we live by grace through faith. But what does this look like? If I am to live by God's grace, that means that I don't depend on my own ability. I don't depend on my own power to be able to accomplish this or that for God or for others. Now it's getting interesting. So grace is God moving me, or perhaps pushing me out beyond what I feel I can personally handle, do, or accomplish. It is God leading a person to go beyond his or her potential. I talked about the Christian deist perspective several weeks ago at the beginning of our study, and recall, I said the deist wants to live in a state where everything is natural. It's all understandable and figured out. That's not living by God's grace. God wants to move us out of our comfort zones so that we depend on Him. If He says we can do it by and through His grace, then His grace is really all that we need. This goes against the very core of the natural logically minded, powerless Christian. We have to come to the place where, no matter what we personally feel or reason within our minds, we have to nevertheless move out in God's grace to accomplish whatever God wants to accomplish in us and through us. I've stated in the past that we like to come up with and have answers to everything in our minds. However, that's not living by God's grace. To state it plainly, are you ready? To state it plainly, God asks us to give up control. To some of you out there, that was like a bolt of lightning striking right at where you are sitting. You base your whole lives on being in control. You live and thrive by being in control. But God asks us not to be in control. He wants to be in control. Now, for those of you who didn't have a heart attack and are still listening, we know that when we give up control, we what? Well, we give up the ability to keep ourselves secure. Oh no, giving up our security? We have to depend on God for our security. Oh no, we have to come to God fully dependent on Him, that He will keep us safe. He will give us what we need. He will keep our reputation secure. We can either try to control those things ourselves, and remember, we're not really in control even when we feel like we are, or we can let God take control of those things. So we are to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We understand that our salvation is secure in Jesus. We recognize that when we die, we are going to get our new resurrection bodies that will be the new homes for our spirits, our new flesh. We will be with our Savior, Jesus, forever. We have these hopes, and no one can take them away from us. Regardless of what happens in life, we can always cling to these hopes. Now to the part we don't particularly care for. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings. We know we will all experience sufferings, many of which pertain to the normal daily living of this world. There can be money problems, relational issues, employment hardships, bodily diseases, whatever it be. There can be all kinds of worldly troubles. And sometimes God will use these things to teach us things. I was trying to come up with an example in regard to this topic of suffering, of which I thought might be beneficial for us. One of my friends, about a year and a half ago, in the springtime, lost his job and the IT world unexpectedly, and he began to search for a new job right away. After months and months of trying to find another IT job, he eventually ended up taking a lesser-paying job at a local department store. He faithfully worked that job for many months without complaining. And after about a year and several months from the time he lost his original job, after lots of praying, God provided him with a bigger and better IT job at a better company than the one he worked at before. This worldly trial produced endurance, character, and hope for my friend. Now in the future, he can look back on this trial and take comfort in the fact that God will lead him through, even if it takes God longer than he expects, because he did it back here. And those of us who prayed with him can look back to his suffering, his trial, as well for encouragement. One thing that we must always be mindful of is that God will carry us through whatever trial we face. And this is true even if we believe we caused it, that we are responsible for it. Now, sometimes it's hard to tell whether we really are responsible or not. Regardless, I think the more we become familiar with how God works, how He takes care of us, we come to the place where when a trial comes, we are not frightened or crushed by its presence. When we've been through trials, we know that God carries us through to the end of it. He gets us through it and makes a way out, even when it looks like there could be no possible way out. God always has some way out of a trial. This is something, though, this confidence, this faith, it is something that I believe can only really be learned by experience, unfortunately. There just isn't any other way to increase our faith. We need to keep in mind, when considering our lives, that they cannot and will not be perfect and squeaky clean all the way through to the end. When I was growing up, my brothers and I loved to play Super Mario Brothers on the original Nintendo, the 8-bit one. We liked Mario 1 and Mario 3. Playing either of these two games, we never got to the end of the games without dying many times before we reached the end. And as I'm sure many of you can recall yourself, it was like this with most video games of that time. You play and play, and every so often, you die. You fall off of a cliff, a bad guy gets you, whatever, you die. No one, my brothers or my friends, would have expected to play Mario straight through on the first run, having never given up a life, having never died. Dying and replaying a level was just part of the process. That's how you reach the end of the game. And so it is with life. You have trials, you die every once in a while, and you have to replay the level. Sometimes you have to start back at the beginning of the game. That's just the way it works. It's normal. So we should not expect a life without trials, without hardships. I think as we go through our lives, becoming more and more like Jesus, we will notice that we are growing closer in our love for God. And is that because we are moving closer to God? Well, Paul says here that it is actually God who has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It is through the enabling of the Holy Spirit that we will feel God's love. Continuing on in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul says, at the right time, Christ died. That is something we need to consider and learn. God always does things at the right time. The right time. The right time is his time, which at times isn't our time. We just talked about our endurance and how that produces character. We need to learn to develop the endurance to wait on God's timing. When we wait on God's timing, all will go well. And we don't want to have the habit of not waiting on his time and trying to do things in our own power, which will not get us what we want. Anyhow, we are told Christ died for the ungodly. That's you, that's me, that's everyone. We are all weak, all of us, before we come into personal relationship with God, are ungodly. We are separated from God because we have not been obedient to him. Remember, take away sin, and there is no point for Christ dying on the cross. Anyone who wants to say, I'm not ungodly, cannot come to Christ. There has to be that inner sense of being ungodly, of being in need of a Savior. One needs to feel that he or she needs forgiven of their sins. If you take away sin, you take away the gospel. No sin equals no gospel. If your preaching takes away sin, then what is the need for the cross? You have just become a self-help guru at that point. A guru is a Hindu spiritual teacher. Finishing up our text for today, verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What is the aim of God's wrath? Where is it targeted? It is targeted for sin and unbelievers who have no forgiveness for their sin. Those who are on the wrong side, they don't have a payment for sin. Anyone who doesn't accept Jesus is going to end up bearing God's wrath, both in this life and in the life to come. Eternal fire waits anyone who doesn't know Jesus. You can laugh at that, but that's the reality of the situation. I prefer you not laugh for your own sake, because I'd rather you accept Jesus than find out the hard way. Again, Paul reemphasizes what he just said in the next verse. Anyone who isn't in right relationship with God is an enemy of God. All of us, at one point or another, were enemies of God. Unless you believe in the age of accountability, that children up to a certain point are not responsible for their sins, then all of us at one point or another were God's enemies. But because we were reconciled to God, and notice the very word reconciled, meaning we were brought back to God, means that God was the owner of us. We were brought back to God. That's why God can send an unbeliever to hell to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Everyone, believer or unbeliever, belongs to him. We have to be reconciled to him, made in good relations again, so that we have no fear of his wrath against us. The one who doesn't believe cannot be free from that fear. If we have been reconciled, we will be saved, as is borne witness by the fact that Christ is currently living in heaven with God. He will save us. He guarantees it. Because of all this, we can rejoice in God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has saved us from our sins, made us alive with God, having reconciled us again to God. Anyone at the sound of my voice can have this reconciliation with God. Anyone can have a personal relationship with God by believing that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead and is now Lord. You can trust in him for the safety from any of God's wrath, any chance of going to hell in the future. Just place your trust in him.
Thank you, Daniel. You're listening to Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. Again, that web address is peacetoliveby.org. There on the website, you'll also find complete transcripts of the messages. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/peacetoliveby. The Bible says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry in Powell, Ohio.